Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to another part of the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today we are with Patrick Crowe, one of the original Identity Theft Warriors from keepmyid.org. Patrick, welcome.
Hey, Kerry, glad to be here.
Hey, so I don't know if you read this article about this lady, but she was indicted, California, naturally. I don't know why I say naturally. She was indicted on 66 identity theft charges, and her name is Allison Spatafore, only 30 years old, but she had charged Monday with 45 counts of identity fraud, 15 counts of criminal tools, 2 counts of money laundering, 2 counts of misuse of credit card, 1 count of attempted misuse of credit card, and 1 count of obstructing official business. She used 40 stolen identities to open bank accounts and make purchases. I mean, this gal was a one-woman identity theft crime wave.
Yeah, that's kind of normally for big numbers like that, you find that the person has some type of link to organized crime, usually like drug trafficking organizations or traditional organized crime up in the Northeast. So it's kind of rare to see a solo entrepreneur out there just working on her own with those kinds of numbers.
Well, she was actually hooked in with some prison inmate.
Okay. Even.
And she's part of a gang.
Okay.
And these gangs are springing up all over the place, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. So she's some part of some type of organized crime, organized criminal enterprise that's using these identities to, obviously, in this case, launder money, which is quite common when folks get these get their identity stolen. It does happen more than people would like to think.
Yeah, well, they're saying that the activity, as best as they can determine, cost banks and merchants at least $50,000. But think about all of the victims whose identities were misappropriated, all the hundreds of hours that they are going to spend trying to get their lives straightened out.
Yeah, so I carry the FBI statistics for recovering from an identity theft event are about 300 hours for an individual. And the bad news is that most of that happens, you know, between the hours of 9 and 5. So if you're an employer out there and someone is in your employ and they have their ID stolen, they're going to be trying to call all these places between the hours of 9 and 5 because that's when they're open. And it takes about 300 hours on average, which is quite a bit of time taken out of the workday.
Yeah, and your government is doing basically zero, although there is good news, Pat. The IRS is opening up a cybercrime division, so I guess we can all rest assured that your income tax information that you submit to the IRS will now be kept under lock and key, and you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends, believe it or not, that work at the IRS or have worked at the IRS, and welcome to the 20th century is the only thing I'm going to say about that. I mean, the internet's been around since, 1980? Something.
Yeah, DARPANET back then.
Yeah. So 1992. That's when crime started. You know, crime started on the internet the day it was invented. And so I'm glad the IRS is jumping on board now. And hopefully, I know the inspector general over at the IRS, they're very independent. They actually are independent of the IRS totally. And I think they report to the Secretary of the Treasury. I know that they have been very critical of the IRS's attempts at tracking cybercrime and their attempts at protecting the data over there. So hopefully this is a good sign.
Well, one thing I have noticed, and particularly at Walmart, but other large retailers, is now the new credit card readers that require your credit card to have a chip in it becoming more prevalent. Yes. I've seen it in supermarkets. So once, I think the end of this year, everybody's going to be required to have one of these new scanners, or the merchant itself will have to take the hit for any fake credit cards. Mm-hmm. That should put a big bite as far as fake credit cards go, right?
Yeah, and Europe's had the chip and PIN technology for years, and it's really nice when you go in a restaurant, because the waiter just brings that little box over to you, and you stick your card in there, and you take care of the business right there. So you never have to give the waiter your card overseas in Europe and some parts of Asia, because that is an incident. That's where someone could just take it and skim it. So now this should put all the skimmers out of business, and it should put all those people out of business who actually get their hands on your card like a waiter.
Yeah, it's so simple. And in Florida, especially in Miami, which is like the epicenter of identity theft, in Florida, they just got these skimmers all over the gas stations here. I saw a list that was published by a local police department in Palm Beach County, in northern Palm Beach County. It had dozens and dozens of skimmers that they knew about. They were obviously planning a bust. I wasn't supposed to see it. Somebody was nice enough to share it with me. In my own town, There were four or five of these skimmers that they knew about. And I'm saying, they know about them. Why don't they do something? But they were obviously planning to raid all these establishments. I don't even know that the proprietors of these gas stations even knew about the existence of the skimmer, but further reason why you should not be using debit cards at gas stations, right?
Yes, thanks, Kerry, because the debit card, I tell people never to use a debit card in public. The only time I use my debit card is to get cash out of an ATM machine at a bank, at an actual, no kidding, bank. And the reason why you don't want to use your debit card is because the protections are not as great as on a credit card. Credit card, really the credit card company is liable for most of what happens to you. They will reimburse you quickly for any charges on there. And your bank will tend to do that as well. But the big difference is that if a criminal gets access to your debit card and knows what he's doing, he can drain your bank account before the bank can react to it. So I always advise people, just do not use your debit card out in public at all. And I know a lot of people don't like credit cards, but you know, get the cheapest Amex card you can find that doesn't allow you to go beyond 1 month, and just, you know, treat it like a debit card. And you can link it, you know, you can link it so it'll pay monthly. You know, you can have an automatic payment set up so you don't get into a credit problem.
Hey, and it's so true, because look, when they get your money out of your account, the problem is that you then have to go about trying to prove to the bank that it wasn't you and it's your money. Okay. When they rob the credit card, it's the bank's money, and you just have to prove, hey, bank, sorry, it wasn't me. You got a problem.
Yes.
It's a whole different, whole different mindset. I advise no one to use debit cards unless you absolutely have to for some reason, because you're one of the unbanked.
Yes.
And you're not credit worthy, but otherwise never, ever use a debit card unless it's a gift card or something that somebody gave you. But don't do it. Simple matter. So hey, getting over to the federal employee database theft from the Office of Personnel Management, an issue that's near and dear to your heart. You know, we've talked about it. You've heard us talking about it. But there's a lot more to that story than meets the eye, isn't there?
Yeah, Kerry, and it is. It is kind of back in one of my assignments with the Defense Department. I actually participated in meetings and discussions with OPM about the security, their systems, and how were Defense Department employees being protected within those systems. And the OPM was resistant to safeguards, and they were resistant to any kind of set aside systems that might be utilized to enhance the protection for employees. So it doesn't surprise anyone who's been watching the Chinese for the last 10 or 15 years and to see what they go after when they attempt to gather data that's going to increase their intelligence, to provide them better intelligence on the United States. And this thing is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I've already, some of my colleagues have already reported that they've been the victims of spear phishing attacks based off of the data that was on their SF-86, because, you know, there's a field for email in there and there's all kinds of other information on there, telephone numbers. And this, I don't know if all the listeners have actually seen this form. It's about 44 pages long, something like that. It gives you where you've lived over the last 7 years, 10 years in some cases. So you give your complete life history on this form, including questions about any type of mental health problems you may have had, any type of condition that might lend you open to blackmail. So it's a very personal form, and it asks about your arrest record, your drug use, and it's the gold mine for an intelligence service. So, you know, just moving beyond identity theft, it's dangerous. But I have a suspicion that the Chinese, once they go through all this and get what they want, then they're probably going to sell it on the black market to criminals. And I tell you, if I have someone's SF-86, I could pretty much become them. And that's something that federal employees, I know, are shocked by. And they've been shocked by the way the federal government's been handling this. They sent out a email to infected employees telling them to click on a link to sign up for the protection service that they contracted. And that's spear phishing 101, right? Don't click on any strange links.
Oh, crazy.
So They have gone and done that. And then what the other bigger picture beyond the identity theft picture is the actual intelligence implications that this is going to have. So OPM has about, I'm going to take a guess here, I'm sure they have probably the clearance info on about 90% of all federal employees. Certain agencies still do their own, and they've been fighting to keep that capacity inside their agency because OPM is supposed to be the one-stop shop. And now they have a good reason as to why they continue to keep it on their own. So all these individuals' data is out there now, and this is just a treasure trove for Chinese intelligence officers to spot, assess, and recruit American federal employees that are susceptible to an approach by an intelligence agency, because now they're going to know about whatever type of mental health issues they may have had, their credit issues that they may have had. And then when you get into the story, some of these stories indicate that people who were rejected for jobs, that their data was out there. So now you have the disgruntled guy, you know, he didn't get his clearance, he didn't get a federal job. Now the Chinese know who he is, know where he lives, know where he was born, know what his social is, know who his wife is. This dossier that they have is gonna be a bonanza for their intelligence collection efforts. And it's also going to potentially expose existing intelligence officers working overseas. They can get in there and find out their level of clearance and what they were doing. And, you know, so it could have a devastating effect. And it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving for quite a long time. And these records go back 25 years.
Unreal. Unreal. And you can always count on your U.S. government to screw up in the worst possible way. Many people are likening it to a cyber or a digital Pearl Harbor. And it could well be the case.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past that, especially from an intelligence and counterintelligence perspective. This is something that's gonna affect people for a long time to come. Anyone who had their clearance granted through OPM, their investigation conducted by OPM, when they go out into an embassy or out in the field as an intelligence officer, they're gonna have concerns about, you know, do the Chinese know about that nasty divorce I had? You know, do the Chinese know about that arrest I had when I was 17 years old?
Yeah, well, you can count on the fact they probably do. And if they don't, they will in the not too distant future, right? The only thing keeping them from knowing is that there's probably too much data for them to go through. And it's going to take them years to get through all that data. But they'll probably have it on their smartphones out in the field.
The one thing about the Chinese going through their data is that they have, it's a military dictatorship, right? So, I mean, their people, they have tens of thousands of of individuals going through that data. I mean, yeah, they use supercomputers and all that, but they actually just throw manpower at it in these cyber units that they have.
Yeah, unfortunate, but that's the world we live in. Hopefully, all the governments are going down the tubes, and we'll just have to hope for the best. Anyway, Patrick, you want to go find out more about how to protect your identity, how to prevent identity theft? Well, keepmyid.org, the only service out there that actually prevents identity theft. It's not going to stop you from being recruited by the Chinese or blackmailed. No, there's no service out there that'll do that, but it will stop your data from being used against you. It'll stop it from actually being used to open new bank accounts and from actually mortgages taken out in your name without your knowledge. Stops identity thieves dead in their tracks. KeepMyID.org. Use the code FSN2 to get most favorable pricing on it. You can get it for your family, for your children, for everybody. KeepMyID.org. Code FSN2. Patrick, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Carrie.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.